So, I always get confused. Is it when the heart passes in front of the moon, or when the moon passes in front of the heart?
Once upon a time, there was light in my life, but now there's only love in the dark. Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Decomposition Podcast, where we hyperanalyze all of your favorite songs. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Katie. Katie, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good. I never tried to think about this song literally before.
No. Well,
so thank you.
Is a day of firsts for us here.
Yeah.
How is it that we got here today? That's the real question.
Okay, so was it October of 2017?
Oh, it was a long time ago.
A long time ago.
Galaxy far, far away.
We recorded our first Jim Steinman episode on Rock and Roll Dreams Come Through. And during that episode, Dennis just dropped in the fact bomb.
Well, I shouldn't say his voice because this song was not sung by Jim Steinman.
He's just in the video?
He's just in the video. He wrote it. It was sung by a singer named Rory Dodd, who did background vocals on the Bat Out of Hell albums, on the Bat trilogy.
That's not what he's most famous for, though.
Rory Dodd?
No.
What is he most famous for?
He is the guy in Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Oh, yeah. Yes. He sang Turn Around Bright Eyes.
Yes.
I did. Exactly. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, which was also written by Jim Steinman.
What?
Yeah.
My mind is blown.
So Rory Dodd went uncredited as the lead singer of this song. And so in the video, when we have fat faced Jim Steinman sitting there doing his like power hands and his future gloves, that's Rory Dodd with the power hands. But it's Jim Steinman's
face.
And
all this time, I thought Jim Steinman didn't have a very good voice.
He doesn't.
But it was Rory Dodd who doesn't.
But he kind of does have a great voice because.
No.
Tell me you don't sing along with Total Eclipse of the Heart. Every part of it.
All right.
Yeah, the Bonnie Tyler part.
No. Okay. Parts. Come on.
The Nicki French part. We just heard that earlier today. And so I find it wildly appropriate that for today's song, we are welcoming back to discuss another needlessly epic song by Jim Steinman. Dennis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I mean, it appears that I have my niche here.
Yeah.
I mean, we've discussed this before, but again, my niche is coming out and Jim Steinman is the manner in which it's coming out.
Yeah,
I
sure. I mean, this is the third part of the Steinman series.
This is our Steinman trilogy.
I feel like this could go on and on. This could be like our Star Wars.
Yeah.
We could just never stop doing Steinman songs.
Jim Steinman was made to be on Decomposition.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love it. And I absolutely love it. But this song is certainly no small task. And so for that reason, we have decided to have two guests here.
Well, in a way, it's appropriate because this is our needlessly epic. Well, it's not needless, though. Our necessary yet epic version.
Needful yet epic
podcasting decision to have on yet another guest.
Guest, Teresa, sibling to Dennis.
That's right.
Dennis, sibling to Teresa.
High five.
Great sibling work, guys. Great sibling work. Teresa, you love this song.
How did you know?
Teresa loves this song.
I haven't even said it yet.
In a shocking turn of events, Teresa loves the song we're discussing. But I think, if I may speak for all of us, I think we all love this song, right?
Oh, yes. I love
amazing.
This song.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But it is absurd, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's
everything
not,
about it.
Okay, so everybody agrees it is wildly absurd and excellent all at the same time.
Phenomenal.
And I think we have to acknowledge on this, the second anniversary of Decomposition.
Oh, is this the second anniversary episode?
Yeah, Brad, because we discussed that in the planning, and it is like written up on the board that way.
Good news, Katie. Your memory is contagious, as
it turns
out.
Oh my gosh, do you know how hard it was for me to remember all the details about how we got here today, even though you and I reviewed it together earlier today? It was really difficult.
In a moment of self-indulgence, listened to the other Jim Steinman episodes we did today in preparation of discussing yet another Jim Steinman penned hit song.
Yeah, I don't think it was self-indulgent. I think it was proper preparation.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Teresa just nodded at her microphone.
I did. I know. And I was like, yes, proper preparation.
Yeah, I know. I heard. And so with that, I feel like I should give this a proper introduction. This is the 1983 hit by Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart off of her fifth album, Faster Than the Speed of Night. This song went to number one, unsurprisingly, on the Billboard Hot 100, number one on the Cashbox chart, number seven on the Adult Contemporary chart. It went to number one in eight different countries. And then in 2017, it went to number 13 on digital downloads and number one on the iTunes chart because it coincided with the...
Lunar eclipse.
Solar eclipse.
So close. The total eclipse so close. Of the heart. So,
very close, you idiot. So this song, famously penned by Jim Steinman. And Katie, I feel like once you heard that factoid, it like clicked. Of course,
yeah.
This is a Jim Steinman song.
Yeah. I mean, there are phrases he uses all of the time. There are rhythmic patterns he uses all the time. There's like the start quiet and then like right. explode the into madness. Yeah. There are the crazy music videos. Yeah. It all makes sense.
It all makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
He really hitched his wagon to... the best possible people, because he's not, I don't think he's any sort of spectacular songwriter.
Right.
But he's got Meatloaf and Bonnie Tyler.
But he wrote for theater.
Yeah.
Before I guess that makes he more got, sense. Yeah.
And listening, I mean, even to the first Bad Outta Hell album, like mm-hmm. you can tell these songs very much inspired by musical theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But if Smash Mouth was singing this song, it wouldn't quite have the same effect.
So coinciding also with our second anniversary here at Decomposition, the lead singer of Smash Mouth, Steve Harwell, is doing a solo show at the Stanhope House, which is like an hour from us.
You guys were all going, right?
We're all going. It's only
is it a cappella solo?
I don't know. I hope he's up there with like an acoustic guitar just going, roll it. Come on. But it's $35, so
that's way too expensive for a Smash Mouth.
I want to go just to see the crowd that shows up at the
I will pay $3.50 to see this.
So many frosted tips.
So many frosted tips, but on like old guys.
Yes.
Oh,
at this point, we're talking
Guy Fieri.
Yes.
His best friend.
I think he'll probably be there.
I think they must be friends.
Probably. He's now cooking at the Stanhope House full time. So that's so where do we start with this crazy song? I don't know. Does anybody like remember the first time they heard this song, or has it always just kind of been a part of our lives?
Yeah, this song has been a part of my life forever. I can remember singing it with my older sister in our bedroom when I was little, like top of our lungs. Like this song is fantastic.
I probably heard you sing it before I actually heard Bonnie Tyler.
That Katie, sounds right.
Katie, what about you?
I just remember it always being there.
Yeah. I'm sure it was always there, but I do remember the like 1995 like club mix version that Nikki French put out.
No.
I don't remember that.
Do not remember the club mix.
Well, guys, I'll text you a YouTube link and you can listen to the club mix.
I feel like maybe I did a dance to that in dancing school.
I'd like to see it right now.
I don't remember. I mean,
is
I
there
could
a
have
a video of this.
Well, it's a podcast, so Katie, I'd like to hear it right now. If you wouldn't mind.
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, Miss Kathy had like a pretty set stead of moves, so I could probably recreate some of the dance for you, even though I don't remember any of it. I remember the standard moves.
How does that dancing compare to the dancers in the video that we watched?
I had nothing on the dancers in this video. They are spectacular.
By
the way, I'm not being sarcastic.
No, they are excellent dancers.
I feel like my voice sounds sarcastic. Mm-hmm. In all sincerity, the dancing in this video, though crazy, is incredibly skillful.
Everything about this video is crazy. Yeah. Just like remarkably off the rails, batshit insane, crazy, crazy.
Yes.
100%. No storyline.
There might be a storyline, but like...
We don't know yet.
What is that storyline? Yeah. Like,
it's, you know what it is? It's the same as the Jim Steinman Rock and Roll Dreams Come Through video. Great dancing.
Yeah.
No storyline. Yeah. Completely bananas. But like, it's still impressive in a way.
There's a story going on between the people in the video, but that story is completely imperceptible to the audience.
That's perfectly put.
Thank you.
It's almost like the video was perfectly crafted for a Jim Steinman penned song.
Because I would say that's true of definitely the Rock and Roll Dreams Come Through video with Jim Steinman and the two dancers and like the worshiping the guitar. guitar.
Right. Yep. Peeling off his wife beater.
Yes.
And also to a certain extent to the Making Love Out of Nothing at All video. Like, right. We were left with many questions.
We were left with many questions. Both of those videos, as a matter of fact, but also the other Meatloaf videos.
Oh, yeah.
The video for I Would Do Anything for Love also kind of has a story, but it's also weird as hell.
Does that also have like blowing fabric and candles and like open windows?
I think so, yeah.
I feel like it does.
So the songs and the videos tend to carry all of Jim Steinman's hallmarks. Mm-hmm.
Jim Steinman owns a wind machine and wanted to use it as much as possible. It's like, I gotta get my money's worth out of this. This wind machine was expensive.
I own a wind machine and I own 750 yards of like gossamer that we need to just have flowing through the, yeah.
I like this theory. I think it's the only logical explanation.
That's gotta be it.
Yeah. Let's apply logic to this. That's a great let's do that now.
That's gonna fall apart real fast.
Does anybody have any idea what the chorus would be to this song?
It starts with Turn Around, doesn't it?
Well, so does every verse.
Well, every verse. Okay.
Turn Around starts just about every
line. So in a way, you're correct, Katie.
Oh, actually, I am absolutely wrong. I think it starts with And I Need You Now Tonight.
Hmm.
But there's a refrain that's Turn Around, Bright Eyes, Every Now and Then I Fall Apart, and that does repeat.
Chorus, post-chorus.
It's kind of like a repeating bridge in a way.
There's a long repeating section.
Now, I also have another question that involves the duration of this song.
It's 45 minutes long, isn't it?
So the original version is 7.5 minutes long, and it was trimmed to 4 minutes and 30 seconds for radio.
They basically repeat the same verse twice, right? Three times?
I have listed that there are three different verses.
There are three verses.
But then refrain, yes. Chorus, and post-chorus, and then an outro.
Is this one of those that we just kind of have to read all the way through?
Yeah. I don't know, because I think...
What repeats and what doesn't repeat?
I don't know.
Everything repeats and
everything
nothing.
Repeats, but there's like different variations.
The chorus part is refrain, chorus, post-chorus. Doesn't that repeat exactly the same way every time?
I think that if we want to do this song justice, which we do, right?
You should just
sing
it.
Start at the top.
Okay.
Just Teresa singing.
Teresa, read all of the words for it.
I gotta read them all.
Katie, you get the parentheticals. You get the Rory Dodd part.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
Wait, what did Rory Dodd do?
All the
male vocals.
And then what did he do in something else?
He was the voice in Rock and Roll Dreams Come Through.
Jim Steinman released an album.
Was the guy.
In the video.
In the video, yes. But and wrote the lyrics.
Rory Dodd was the singer.
Was the singer.
Yeah. Okay.
How do you get away with that, though? How do you release an album as like a solo artist, but have somebody else do the singing? That feels weird.
Somebody get Milli Vanilli on the line.
Slash's Snake Pit.
Did he have somebody else do the singing?
Yes, he doesn't sing.
But does he pretend that he's the singer? Does Jim Steinman pretend to be the singer than just the video?
It was pretty readily available information that Rory Dodd is the singer. So.
Guys, these are all great questions. I think the answer is, you can just get away with that.
I think the answer is we need Jim Steinman on the podcast is the answer.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
I don't think
is he alive?
He is alive. Yes.
He could still be writing, guys.
In the past couple of years, they just put out the Bat Out of Hell musical. That I believe was on the West End.
I'm go to see it?
Eagerly awaiting this. Teresa, when it's not your turn to read lyrics, Google this musical and just read the synopsis.
I can't have to pay attention. I'll do it later.
I'm going to pull that up while you're reading lyrics and then I'll read you the synopsis, all right? Where do you want to read up to? Just like right up through the...
To the refrain?
Do you want me to read? Who's reading?
You're reading.
You're reading.
Okay. And verse one.
Do you want me to do the parentheticals?
And then you want me to do verse one?
Yes.
Okay.
Turn Around.
Can I tell you that
that was much more of a visually funny thing. The way that Katie just looked at Teresa and went, turn around.
I'm sorry. Okay. Ooh, should we try that again?
I didn't do it to be funny.
I know you didn't, which is what made it great.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, and then I see the look in your eyes.
Turn around, bright eyes.
Every now and then I fall apart.
Turn around, bright eyes.
Every now and then I fall apart.
Beautiful.
Okay. Question one. How does one's tears sound? How do one's tears sound? Drip, drip? I don't know.
Drip, drip.
I guess it's more of the sobbing sound.
Sobbing, and it's the point of, you know, being sad.
I feel like we're forgiving that line a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this a song about falling in love, or is it a song about falling out of love?
To me, it's a song about someone who has been in love and in a relationship that they know they need to get out of, but can't leave it, and is like kind of still in this thing, and they've been in it so long that it's like, I can't leave it now, but the best of all the years have gone by, and it's like, I want to leave, I want to go, and I'm scared to go, and then I see your eyes, and then I turn around.
Okay. I took it a little bit differently.
Okay.
Similar, but just slight variance on that. So I think the speaker is concerned that this long-term, well, from the first verse, then I don't know what happens, but in the first...
You've just had like five half thoughts that you just...
Let me make it clear.
Yeah.
This is what I think is going on based on the first verse alone. Mm-hmm. Then you get into other verses and it gets crazier. But based on the first verse, it seems like the speaker's in a long-term relationship and is concerned that it's like going stale or that it's falling apart. The line that you were looking at, the whole thought is every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by. So it's like having this fear, right, that maybe our relationship isn't going so well anymore. And then it follows with every now and then I get a little bit terrified. And then I see the look in your eyes. And then, you know, if you continue on from there, it seems like it's setting up like then I see the look in your eyes and then it feels a little bit better. Yeah. Like that maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. Salves my wounds a little
bit.
I'm kind of on the fence there. I feel like maybe it's like you kind of alluded to this, saying like they feel like they need to get out of this relationship. And when they're on their own, they know, like, you know, it's tough. You know, you get a little bit tired, a little bit nervous that the years have passed by, but like you can't let that keep you in a relationship that you shouldn't be in. And then you turn around and then you see their eyes and you're like, but I gotta stay in it anyway.
Even
if you shouldn't be in it, like just that person standing there, it's such like a comfortable feeling, even if it's not the right feeling.
Brad is laughing.
I think
he's laughing because we are all taking the song seriously.
According to this annotation on Genius.com, it says the song was inspired by the relationship between Catherine and Heathcliff in the novel Wuthering Heights.
Oh.
Which is not true.
Okay.
Because...
Because Katie and I are trying to think, like, God, I haven't read that in 20-something years. So what happens in that book?
Because Steinman has told everybody he originally composed the song as a love ballad for Nosferatu, the musical.
Goodness gracious.
And so he called it, quote, the other great vampire story.
God.
Now the video makes so much more sense.
No, it does not, Teresa. No, it does not.
It makes some more sense. It makes a little bit more sense.
Steinman also said, quote, if anyone listens to the lyrics, they're really like vampire lines. It's about the darkness, the power of darkness, and love's place in the dark.
So, dude, I like how he says, if anybody reads, as if, like, it's obvious.
Duh.
None of us even considered the word vampire.
There is not one allusion to... No.
Vampirism?
Like, vampire stuff. Like, well-known archetypal vampire stuff.
No bats,
stuff.
No blood.
I could make
no
some sense out of this, maybe, as, like... being about a vampire.
Oh boy.
Do vampires have bright eyes?
The brightest.
I don't know. According to Twilight, they have sparkly skin.
That's the glitter in the fencing guy.
Yep. In 1983?
Stephanie Meyer stole it from me.
Shit, can obviously.
That's what it was.
Can I tell you how I almost intro'd this episode?
Sure.
This is bad.
Take two.
I want to suck.
But it doesn't, all right, suck.
Well, it doesn't suck. It does not suck.
What were we saying about Brad can cut out any part of this? I think that applies. Right.
Well, I'm doing the editing, Sunshine, so you just wait till this comes out. But this was eventually included in the musical Dance of the Vampires in 1997, which is based on a Roman Polanski film, but Steinman produced the musical.
Okay.
So he included this song in that because it needed like a love ballad.
Of course.
It all makes sense to me now.
What?
No, okay.
Wait, what?
Everything
there
makes
is
sense.
No possible
Nothing
way that
makes
is
sense to me.
No,
Brad, can you take a breath? Because you don't know what I was going to say.
You said it all makes sense to me, and I was just
earlier
shocked.
Today. Uh-huh. I was using Brad's computer, and I went to Google the lyrics to "Total Eclipse of the Heart," and as I typed in "Total Eclipse of the Heart," it came up "Total Eclipse of the Heart Vampires," and I like purposefully tried to ignore that because I, you know, clearly it had to do with something he had looked up, and now.
Now you understand.
It all makes sense.
Okay. Now that makes part sense. Makes
your
sense.
Your weird search history, Brad.
Your weird search history.
Seriously, I should have deleted my search history.
Brad's search history doesn't make sense to me. No, I don't know. I never look at your search history.
It all
history.
Makes sense to me. Makes more sense than this being about vampires.
Let's see. So. If I think about this specific verse, is there anything... that feels like it's about vampires.
The best of all the years have gone by. No.
No, they live forever.
I think she'd be more terrified looking in his eye, in the eyes of a vampire, unless they're both vampires.
Maybe it's a vampire talking. Sorry, a vampire talking to a non-vampire love interest about how they're a little bit lonely and they're never coming like over to the vampire side. Well, every now and then, I get a little bit tired of listening to like I'm crying all the time because you're not a vampire and I am. Every now and then, I get a little bit nervous. Like I've spent all these years as a vampire and you're like aging and stuff, and I'm just like going on.
Is she the vampire or is he the vampire?
I don't know who he or she is, but
I thought he would be the vampire. But then why would she be called Bright Eyes? Because according to the video, I think the vampires have the bright eyes.
I think it's just they are vampires.
Yeah, maybe they're both. Yeah, because I mean, if they're both vampires, then she's getting nervous that the best of all the years have gone by. It makes sense that they're both kind of traveling through all these years together.
I'm sticking to my theory. One's a vampire. I don't know which one, but one of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think we can make maybe a little bit of sense. Maybe not with the vampire stuff, but...
Oh, now I'm looking at verse 2 and I'm thinking the singer might not be the vampire.
I think the...
Oh, I don't know.
Like secondary singer, like the subject.
Rory Dodd
is the vampire. I don't think the speaker is the vampire. I think the subject is the vampire.
Which makes sense why all the turnarounds, he's trying to get the singer to turn and become a vampire.
She's saying like, I'm nervous about this and then I see your eyes and he says, turn around bright eyes and she says, every now and then I fall apart and then he like tempts her again with turn around bright eyes.
It makes total sense.
And I guess like of course it does. If I was a vampire and I wanted you to be what I am, maybe I would just call you what I am to like make it seem appealing.
Is he Bright Eyes?
Well, he's calling her Bright Eyes, but
it's like a term of endearment.
I'm taking the bright eyes thing from the video, though. Like all the vampire-ish
characters. I don't think you can take anything seriously from the video.
Maybe he's a shirtless football player, Katie, and maybe he's trying to call her to become a shirtless football player, or some sort of weird angel creature that hugs things, or some sort of flashy-eyed choir boy.
Mm.
Perhaps she's a greaser.
Or a glitter-filled fencing mask.
Yes. Can I add in like a little bit of literary info on vampires that I just kind of googled? So I think everybody...
That sounds gross.
This video is very gross of saying that.
So anybody who's listened to previous episodes has heard me talk about the book How to Read Literature Like a Professor, which I maintain is a fun book.
Yeah. Sounds like a ball.
And chapter 3 of How to Read Literature Like a Professor is like nice to, I think it's called Nice to Eat You, because there's a chapter called like Nice to Eat With You, and then this chapter is all about vampires, so Nice to Eat You. Anyway, so I managed to find just like a little bit of the chapter online because I don't have the book handy, and here is a bit of it. So Foster argues that actual vampires are not the scariest thing about the genre. Dracula is strangely attractive, even though he preys on the young, the beautiful. But vampires are really a representation of fears about sexuality. And vampirism is as much about body shame and unwholesome lust, seduction, temptation, selfishness, and exploitation as it is about actual blood-sucking bat people.
So that's where it makes the video make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm just trying to say, like...
Disagree.
Maybe,
disagree.
Well, if you think about unwholesome lust, like some of these words that we got here, we got body shame, unwholesome lust, seduction, and temptation. And now, as we read the rest of the song, I got to keep all that in mind. I'm sorry that I just had like a teacher.
Yeah, I'm trying to
the body shame. I don't know, but the other ones I could see.
Well, and if there are characteristics of a genre, the genre doesn't have to embody all of those characteristics all the time. Like if it's got 3 out of 4, that's
Well, the video has a whole lot of unwholesome lust.
Oh my gosh, sure. So unwholesome.
It's
probably the most unwholesome.
It's like way pedo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mega.
Way pedo?
Pedophilic.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. It's amazing how our brains work similar. At least 3 times already, Brad and Katie have said something and been totally on the same page, and Teresa and I have looked at each other and been like, what are they talking about?
I have no idea what
is way pedo? I don't know what that means.
Testament to your relationship as siblings.
Exactly.
And testament to our relationship as married folks, except none of us paid attention to poor Brad's coughing.
Yeah. Well, you're just going to let me die here. Yeah, guys, no, I have the controls. I'm doing the actual recording. So maybe if I die,
like one of us is a vampire, eventually, and we're just going to bring it back.
Yeah, perfect.
Settle down, Bright Eyes.
It's Turnaround, Bright Eyes.
That's on me.
It'd be a very different song. He's like, settle down, Bright Eyes.
Would it, though? Because no, I'm looking at these lyrics, and I think it makes equal amounts of sense.
Equally zero sense.
Actually, that's a perfectly appropriate response to Every Now and Then I Fall Apart. Settle down, Bright Eyes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it in the same voice as me.
I'm sorry. I just imagined.
Don't apologize. No. Just
settle down.
That creepy guy at the end with the one guy with glowing eyes telling his teacher to settle down.
Oh.
If a student ever told you to settle down.
Oh, that would be terrible.
I'd lose it.
If a very, very attractive underage student told you to
This is disgusting. That is nasty.
Well, that's what this entire music video is.
Yeah. It's a music video that took place at some kind of like sexy haunted Hogwarts or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
It was filmed in
But apparently there's only 12 students and they all do every extracurricular activity.
Oh, isn't that Hogwarts, though? Isn't that like Harry Potter under three kids that do all the things?
I mean, they're like the popular and famous kids, but there's tons of kids in the school.
It's like Saved by the Bell. 12. No, it's like Saved by the Bell where there's like 6 kids who do everything in the whole school.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I just got so excited.
Some of those kids who play multiple students, like the guy that played Ox also played Moose. So that's very...
Why couldn't he just be the same one? It's the same, like, the animals. Not the same animals, but it's like this. An ox and moose, I know they're not the same. But like,
he was part of the fencing team, and he also was part of the diving team.
And the shirtless football team.
And he also acted in their production of Grease. So that's very, very important.
Wow. Or it's like Dead Poets Society. It had a lot of feeling of
that was, yeah, that definitely had that vibe to it also. I think that this is an episode that you really need to watch the music video before you even start.
Oh, several times. Several times.
You should give that disclaimer in the beginning.
You catch something new every single time you see it, and none of it makes any sense.
No. Mm-hmm. I screamed at one point, seen the video before.
I forgot most of the crazy shit that happens in the video.
Should we hold on?
We should
there
definitely,
though,
yeah.
And just like
let's not do too much.
Go
video
through
there.
The words.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified.
Dennis, could you read verse 2 for us, please?
Will you do the parentheticals?
I'll do parentheticals. Okay. I'm feeling confident.
Okay.
Turn around.
Every now and then, I get a little bit restless, and I dream of something wild.
Turn around.
Every now and then, I get a little bit helpless, and I'm lying like a child in your arms.
Turn around.
Every now and then, I get a little bit angry, and I know I've got to get out and cry.
Turn around.
Every now and then, I get a little bit terrified, but then I see the look in your eyes.
Settle down. Turn around, Bright Eyes.
Every now and then, I fall apart.
Turn around, Bright Eyes.
Every now and then, I fall apart.
Whew. I mean, I'm just picturing, I started
the
laughing.
Exact same noise.
Because I was picturing Dennis lying like a child in Brad's arms.
Every now and then. Every now and then.
Every now and then.
Every now and then.
That is the line I hate most in the whole song.
Yes.
I hate that line.
Because it's like a... And then it's, why are you lying like a child?
Then why is she lusting after this person? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't lie like a child unless that child is like way boy-yo-yo-yoing about the singer.
Well, no. She lies like a child in his arms.
So she's way boy-yo-yo-yoing.
In the simile, she would be the child lying in his arms.
I think
arms.
They just confuse their...
Yeah.
Who is who and points of view and who's the vampire and...
I feel like Jim Steinman is the type of guy who writes the music first and then just fills in the melody with words.
Definitely.
Dramatic buzzwords.
You
insert.
Said that exact same sentence in our last episode with Dennis.
Did I really? Oh, yeah. The Adams Family one?
No, in our last Jim Steinman episode. Adams Family. They wrote the music first.
MC Hammer just he had all these.
He just fills in the blanks. More than he is a lyricist.
If you could talk about him as a composer of dance, yes, I would agree with you there. Otherwise, no, not so much.
Oh, not the mighty Mike Master from the Oak Town.
What's his real name?
Stanley Kirk Burrell.
There you go.
Whew, that was a good laugh right there. I'm just going to retitle these episodes Steinmania.
Yes.
Oh, Steinmania part 1, 2, 3.
All the Steinman songs should be done.
We've kind of dropped the Actors Gone Rogue, but I think we could pick it up with Steinmania.
Yeah. I have to ask this, even though I don't even want to give the line that much credit. Is "and I'm lying like a child in your arms" a pun? Like, is there a pun on lying there? Or do you think it's just
like telling untruths?
Like a kid is a liar?
No, because the line before it is saying, "every now and then I get a little bit helpless and I'm lying like a child in your arms." So it's talking about like a helpless child. Mm-hmm. And that's also where I see he's the vampire too. Whereas, because if a lot of the vampire-y things that I've seen, the woman as she's about to get
bitten,
vampire-y things that I've seen.
You know, that's
the vampire-y thing.
She could be like lying there like helpless, you know. And so I don't know if it's like you're saying lying like an untrue lying like
because she's feeling so helpless in the relationship and then all of a sudden she's in his arms like she's lying to herself.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. I think it's a reach.
I think I'm being too kind.
I think
we're giving a lot of credit and I love it.
When she dreams of something wild, do you think maybe that's what we're watching in the video? Is just her, like, wild dream?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
The whole thing is a dream.
Can we talk about that when we talk about the video, though? Because I have some notes. I just
want to keep that lyric in mind.
Okay. I'll write that down.
So it seems like the narrator is just saying, like, every now and then I'm different or I have different emotions or feelings, which is very simple. Yeah. You guys there?
Yeah. Every now and then.
All right, we're here.
Yeah. I'm in trouble. I'm reading the words. I was listening to you. Yeah. Every now and then. I'm helpless. Yeah. I'm scared. I'm terrified. I'm angry. I'm restless. I'm all these things. And you make it all better.
And I'm going to say that sounds very human, not very vampiric.
So she is the human.
Yeah.
He is a vampire.
Yeah, I think I'm on board with that. I think she's the human.
I think at some point in the process, he just dropped the vampire thing entirely.
And just forgot that he was writing about vampires. Like, oh, shit. That's right, vampires.
Your explanation, Teresa, just supported what I said about verse one, though. Like, if she's going through a bunch of bad stuff and then he makes her feel better.
He makes her feel better.
That is what I said about verse one.
Now I'm in.
I don't believe you.
Well, you'll hear it back in the recording.
So that's two verses in a row where they talk about crying. This person spends plenty of time crying.
Yeah. And her tears are so loud.
I've got to get out and cry, but those loud, loud tears. Exactly. You can hear the tears over like the bombast of the music in this in this song.
What is she angry about?
Just about stuff. Stuff will make her angry.
Okay.
I get angry every once in a while at things.
She's angry that she's helpless, that she's restless, that she's terrified, nervous, tired, and lonely. She's angry about all these emotions that she's not as
despite all of my wildly different emotions, you calm me down.
She's an angry crier, and so am I. I can relate
to
that.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, when I get mad, I just want to have a cry. Dennis?
No, not an angry crier. Can't say that.
Brad?
I'm a happy crier.
Oh, I actually happy cried at a wedding not long ago.
Did you really?
I didn't know I was a happy crier, and then I was kind of like,
wedding?
Oh, all right, I kind of teared up a little bit there. My sister-in-law and her now my brother-in-law as well.
Very nice.
Michelle's sister and her husband.
Aww. Makes you sad. It was touching. Yeah. It's the touching moment.
But they were all making fun of me the whole time.
Yeah,
of course
they
were.
Like, they saw the pictures and they're like, what the hell's wrong with you?
You sound like a wuss. I mean,
that's all right. I'm okay with that.
Please, let's gender stereotype.
Man up, Tiny Tears.
That's an Anna.
That is.
Yeah. Nobody knows what I meant just now.
No, because I sappy cried after we got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And she threw that at me.
Our friend told him to man up, Tiny Tears.
Yeah. Oh, what a bitch.
Oh, she doesn't listen. It doesn't matter.
Joe Shipley listens. He'll communicate that to her.
And he is going to send me a message probably about the earlier pronunciation of niche, which he will...
He says niche. That drives me crazy.
Yeah, but he's going to love
Joe Shipley, I don't know you, but I now hate you.
No! It's my dear friend.
I probably love Joe Shipley, but I don't like the niche. It's niche. It's so how much easier.
I say niche. He's also going to love my pronunciation of pedo. So there's that.
Yeah.
We can keep that in mind.
Pita?
Pedophile. Katie, can you just go ahead and read the chorus?
Okay. I would love to.
Can I just ask a question first?
Sure. You lucked out with
what's the difference between a refrain and a chorus and a post-chorus
and a pre-chorus? There's probably some sort of almost inconsequential difference between the...
Google it. Let's find an answer.
Teresa, you want to Google that while...
No, I don't want to miss out.
Want to Goog that?
I'll do it later.
Give it a Goog.
Okay. And I need you now tonight, and I need you more than ever. And if you only hold me tight, we'll be holding on forever. And we'll only be making it right, because we'll never be wrong. Together we can take it to the end of the line. Your love is like a shadow on me all of the time.
All of the time.
Thank you, Dennis.
Oh, wow. There was a parenthetical.
I don't know what to do, and I'm always in the dark. We're living in a powder keg and giving off sparks. I really need you tonight.
Wow. Hands.
Forever's going to start tonight. Forever's going to start tonight. Once upon a time, I was falling in love, and now I'm only falling apart. There's nothing I can do, a total eclipse of the heart. Once upon a time, there was light in my life, but now there's only love in the dark. It's totally about vampires, guys. Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is maybe the obvious question. What is a total eclipse of the heart?
It's when something gets in the way of how your heart truly feels. And so you can't see what your heart feels.
Ooh. You are a hell of a bullshit artist. I got to say, like,
that was
boom,
good.
Double snap.
Fudge, Valente. Think about archetypes of light and dark. If light is like hope and joy, when your heart is totally eclipsed, it's completely covered in darkness, not letting any of those positive things come in. This is a brilliant song.
And then it says, your love is like a shadow on me all of the time.
Mm.
Yeah. This Jim Steinman is the greatest songwriter that has ever written a song. Yes. I think that's
Fudge
where we
yes,
are.
Valente.
Fudge yeah, Valente.
I'm going to agree. And you know what? Katie now agrees too, because just earlier today, she was telling me that despite what she said during our Air Supply episode, part two in Steinman.
You're very aggressively pointing at me right now.
I am aggressively Katie.
Cut that out. You know you have to cut that out. But I'm glad you said it for there.
Come on. That was amazing.
Are you trying to, like, back out of what you said about Air Supply now?
No. Say what I said. It's true.
We were, like I said, you know, we were listening to part two of Steinmania to warm up for this episode. You guys can laugh. I'm just, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to mute the bad word there.
Okay. I'm aggressively finger pointing.
I'm aggressively blanking right now.
Oh, my face is so hot.
Hot cheeks.
No, Valente, that's you. But Katie told me while we were listening to it in the car, she said, when she gave it a B+, she said, I was wrong. This is an A.
What? Which one's an A?
Making love out of nothing at all.
It's still not my cup of tea. Like, I prefer this song and the song that he wrote for Meatloaf, that Rock and Roll Dreams Come Through,
right,
to Making Love Out of Nothing at all. But there's some really clever stuff going on in there. And I think I let my own personal bias get in the way.
What do you think is the difference between the Air Supply song and, say, this song, which were, like we said in that episode, number one and two, respectively, on the charts at the exact same time?
The words "making love," even though I choose to believe that they just mean creating love out of nothing. Oh,
but these words, yeah.
And actually, I think these words are a little bit more inventive than those words. And I think if you're going to go big, you got to go big. Like, if you are going to be crazy, epic, dramatic, like overly cheeseball romantic, you gotta really go there.
You really
do. This song does it 110,000%.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot of
percentage points,
I mean, that's so much more than like a normal percent.
Exactly. Well, yeah, Dennis, could you explain the math behind that?
I don't think I can, no. 110,000%
That's a lot. That's a lot of percent. I mean, I'll be honest.
The crazy thing is that we heard from our factoids here that it was about vampires, and we were all like, this is crazy. And now immediately upon reading it, we're like, no, there's actually all sorts of vampire stuff. To give Jim Steinman credit there. I will give him credit.
There's nothing that like specifically alludes to vampirism in
this
song.
They don't say the word vampire. Like, hey, this song's about vampires.
That's the only
Total
thing.
Eclipse of the Heart.
I know. And that's the only thing I look for in lyrics. But no, you tell me, aside from darkness, which could be one of a zillion things, what vampiric stuff is happening in the song?
You're right. If we didn't hear
We could stop right there.
Okay.
Dennis, go on.
If we hadn't heard like that it was about vampires, we wouldn't have deduced that from nothing. But now that we know and we went through and thought about it that way, we're like, all right, it makes a lot of sense.
You can see his inspiration.
Does this make you want to see the Dance of the Vampires musical?
Yes.
Maybe. I mean, how much does it cost?
Definitely not.
More or less than $35.
Next time, Next time we talk to Patrick over at the original cast, we need to ask him if he's familiar with the Dance of the Vampires.
I would love
musical.
To ask him about that.
I would love to see a musical made up of Jim Steinman songs that he's written for people.
Yes.
Like, not Bat Out of Hell, the musical.
Why not?
Do you have the synopsis of that?
No, I'm here.
I've got two things that I've looked up that we'll get to like immediately after this. But if you could take It's All Coming Back to Me Now by Celine Dion, if you could take several
That's a great song.
You should hear.
I love that song.
You should hear Meatloaf's version of it.
I don't want to.
No.
I have.
You
actually.
Do.
I have. And I love Meatloaf. You know that. Right. We've discussed this.
You could stop.
But
right
I love
there.
That song.
I really think that her video for that song also has candles and like windows.
Oh, that's
open.
Candle in the Wind. Candles and windows.
Candle in the Window. Get your facts right. But that, like, so many, that song, that Meatloaf song, Out of the Frying Pan into the Fire, that I made you listen to earlier today, Katie.
I didn't know you could say frying pan and like
so passionately
have it work so well in a song.
You get so passionately.
Meatloaf is the man. I love Meatloaf.
Yeah, I agree. 1,000%. 100. What was it?
110,000%.
So with that, let me read you the synopsis of the Bat Out of Hell, the musical. Oh boy, this is going to be rough. All right. According to the Wikipedia page for Bat Out of Hell, the musical, Bat Out of Hell is a rock musical written by Jim Steinman and based on the album of the same name. Steinman wrote all of the songs, most of which are songs from the Bat Out of Hell trilogy of albums by Meatloaf, including Bat Out of Hell 2, Back into Hell, and 3, The Monster is Loose. The musical is a loose retelling of Peter Pan and Wendy.
What?
Set in post-apocalyptic Manhattan, now called Obsidian, and follows Strat, the forever young leader of the Lost, who has fallen in love with Raven, daughter of Falco, the tyrannical ruler of Obsidian.
You have heard us describe this before, not in as much detail.
I haven't.
You have, because you've listened to every
episode.
Yeah,
well, I have. I don't remember any of it. I was pointing at you because Strat, isn't that the name of a Doctor Who guy? Potato guy? No, I'm thinking of something.
Strax.
Oh, that's close. So, I still want to see it.
I want to know.
I don't
want
to pay for it, but
like
I want to see it.
Nothing I would ever want to watch. I love Meatloaf.
I could just hear
I
these
could
songs.
Just listen to Bat Out of the Hell. Now you got me saying Bat Out of the Hell.
Bat Out of the Hell.
I just listen to the album and enjoy Meatloaf. I don't need to watch a musical. It's like with Across the Universe. I hated the movie Across the Universe. I loved it. I love the Beatles. I love like all their music, but that musical is just ridiculous. The whole movie.
I never saw the whole movie.
Good. I walked out of it. That's the only movie I've ever walked walked out of the theater because it was terrible. I could just listen to the Beatles if I want to hear the Beatles.
Your
Same
sister loves that movie.
I do love that movie. I have seen it so many times. I've shown it to classes at times.
Happy I'm in that class.
I just looked up the musical numbers for this musical, and it makes me so happy, guys. And I'll tell you why. So not only do we have the Meatloaf classics, but Making Love Out of Nothing at All is on here. Mm-hmm. You know what else is on here?
What?
Out of the Frying Pan Into the Fire.
Yes.
And It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
Nice.
Nice. Wow. Three out of four of us would watch this musical.
So Jim
Maybe
Steinman.
Maybe four out of four.
Four out of four of us would do? Just listen to the songs from
You know what is not on this?
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Because it's already been wasted in another musical.
And this musical is not about vampires.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It doesn't fit.
That's the obvious.
Doesn't fit.
Isn't there some, what's the vampire thing that's really famous?
Twilight.
Isn't there like a moon thing with that too?
New I guess all Moon is
New
one
moon.
Of the
Yeah,
books.
Total Eclipse of the Heart, moons.
And one of the books is called Eclipse.
There too. Eclipse, yeah. So. I don't know anything about it, clearly, but.
There's also very glittery vampires, yes. Which like the fencing guy in the video.
You, Stephanie Meyer loved this song.
She
must
to.
Have.
She might have. Guys,
so the
can
other
we talk about,
oh,
so
everybody
sorry.
Loves this song, so of course she loves this song.
I want to real quickly just lay out what the difference between a chorus and a refrain is. This is according to learneverythingabout.com. The word refrain applies to your song lyric, while the chorus applies to your song's music.
No, stupid.
Hey, I'm just telling you what I found.
I just heard a bunch of words. I didn't know what they meant.
I don't like this.
You're talking about the actual words versus the music.
I don't know.
Okay, I see.
Why did you care about the sources?
Actually, that does make sense.
Listen to the thing I'm telling you, which is the refrain applies to lyrics. The chorus applies to music.
Because how do I know that source knows anything that it's talking about?
I'm just making this shit up. I don't know. You believe me. So that's your
point. I didn't believe you.
It's such a teacher thing to say.
And it's a good thing to say.
This is what everyone should say.
Well, Teresa, what do you think?
We'd be in a better world if people check their sources.
Why do you think that's a stupid thing?
We're not talking about like important things. We're talking about like the names.
We're talking about Total Eclipse of the Heart,
exactly.
Guys. This is like the most batshit, excellent, epic song of the 80s, next to Air Supply's Making Love Out of Nothing at All.
If next to, you mean in front of.
Yeah.
I meant literally on the Billboard chart positions.
But I have to tell you, I cannot remember what Making Love Out of Nothing at All sounds like, even though I've listened to that episode.
You start to finish?
No, I'm good.
Go.
But I'd have no memory of that song at all.
Just how to whisper and I know just how to cry.
No, nothing.
Nothing?
Go to the chorus where you'll sing the same lyrics that are sung in the chorus over and over again.
The song that you gave an A on the lyrics. You reprised the grade.
I'm just saying that a chorus also repeats lyrics and a refrain repeats lyrics. So the explanation.
But you can change the lyrics. I don't know. Who cares?
Who cares?
I get what you're saying.
I'm going to edit all that shit out. Who cares? It says, all choruses are refrains, but not all refrains are choruses.
Yes, that makes sense.
So,
right.
Boom!
It's more about the
what was
musical
that?
Theme coming back.
I just aggressively myself is what happened.
Please cut that out.
I'd like you to use that phrase as often as possible. Would you prefer making love or aggressively Which is
which
your preferred
phrase?
Guys, welcome to our house, by the way.
I'm not responding to this because we have more important things to talk about. Like the chorus. I mean, I feel like we have not talked enough about the specific, amazing, crazy, lovely lyrics of the chorus.
Sorry. I went to look something up and I was looking at the spoken word part in Bad Out of Hell.
Oh, you know what else is on the...
Because I was like, is that about a vampire?
You know
but
what
he
else
talks
is,
about wolves.
No, you know what else is in the track listing is Hot Summer Night.
That's what I'm,
is that what
that's
you're
what I'm looking at.
A hot summer night.
Would you offer your throat to the wolf with the red roses?
Oh, this is terrible.
Will he offer me his mouth? Yes.
Yikes.
My favorite Jim Steinman / Meatloaf spoken word bit.
Oh, it's
hopefully
great.
It's the only one.
That was really specific.
Well, no. Where did it go?
All right, so let's talk about the crazy lyrics in the chorus that, Katie, you called both amazing and crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to wait and give somebody else an opportunity to talk. You want me to dive
in?
It's kind of the same themes of what we were talking about before. You know, it's just, it's a little more kind of a triumphant musical part of the song, a little more epic.
Definitely.
But it's pretty much saying the same thing. Need you now tonight. Need you more than ever. You know.
Your love is like a shadow on me all of the time. So it's like, no matter what I do, your love is like there casting
a shadow
on me. Which
is an eclipse.
Yes.
And also a simile.
And then we're living in a powder keg and giving off sparks. Is that the...
The powder keg was the one line where, like, I got to that point in the song and I was like, we're living in a manor and I'm giving off sparks. And, like, I just didn't know the word. And I was like, I'm never going to know that, but now I do. And yeah. I did search a powder keg before because I was like, I don't know what that is.
Powder keg's like for, like, gunpowder. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's a keg.
It's a very old, old fashioned.
And if you're giving off sparks next to a keg filled with gunpowder, it's going to explode.
Me a little more. Yeah. No, it makes sense. It's just powder keg was not something that's in my normal vernacular.
So I'm going to say something that I didn't think I would say throughout the course of this episode. With the line "Forever is going to start tonight," I see where the vampire thing comes in. She's going to be turned into a vampire tonight. She wants him to fill her with his venom.
You just are. Hey-o. Now you're quoting
Twilight.
Twilight. It was poison, actually.
Oh, excuse me. That I'm misquoting Twilight, I think, is an important thing to say. But yeah, that
holds up.
It really does. Like I said, we would have never thought about vampires unless we were told. But as soon as we did, it makes complete sense.
Why is it that you think in the video all this nutso-butso stuff happens and not a single thing is vampire-related in the video?
That's what will always confuse me, is that they never – there's no sort of vampire illusion or anything like that.
Who's the video director?
I don't know. I can find out while you're talking about something else.
I mean, I forgot what I was going to say because I got distracted by the dog.
So we're talking about the chorus.
Oh, yeah. So "Forever's going to start tonight." And then in the post-chorus, you have "Once upon a time there was light in my life, but now there's only love in the dark." It really fits with the vampire thing. Like, once you turn me into a vampire, which in this case doesn't involve biting, but just involves, like, making my eyes shine or something, there won't be light in my life anymore. There'll just be you, the shadow that's over me, and there'll be love in the dark.
That's why she's Bright Eyes, because she's not a vampire yet. And once the shadow comes over her, she won't be Bright Eyes anymore?
She'll be Dark Eyes.
What?
I guess so. Maybe.
I don't know.
She has light still?
Holy. So this guy who directed the video, man by the name of Russell Mulcahy, he also directed the video for Billy Joel's Pressure.
Yes.
Whoa.
Likewise, he directed the video for Hungry Like the Wolf.
Oh my God.
I don't know the video for that one though.
They're running through a jungle
in Sri Lanka.
Other weird stuff.
Maybe I have. A bunch of videos, Katie. Queen.
Which Queen?
Directed A Kind of Magic and Princes of the Universe.
I know A Kind of Magic. That's a weird video.
Rod Stewart, Elton John, Def Leppard, Boy George, Kenny Loggins.
Did he only do music videos?
He did in the 80s. It seems like he was just doing videos. Now, more recently, he's directed several episodes of the TV series Teen Wolf.
Okay. Well, that seems like...
I don't watch
Bright
that
Eyes.
Show,
so.
That seems like a downslope in his career, actually.
If it was the movie Teen Wolf, well, I'd be on board.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah, so sorry, I was just blown away by that.
That is great.
So,
well, it means that we're a fan of his work.
Not because we think he's brilliant, because it's completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's absurd. Russell Mulcahy.
Mulcahy.
So, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, he's got it going on.
Interrupted you mid-sentence.
I don't remember what I was saying, so we should just move on.
Was it about the lyrics?
I had finished saying something about the lyrics, actually.
Yeah, I think you "Forever's going to start tonight," and you were like, she's definitely going to be turned
into a vampire, which is what this song is about.
Obviously. Except, how doesn't the world know? They just need to read the lyrics.
I think the song is better if it's not about vampires. I'd prefer to think of it. I personally would prefer to think about it as not about vampires.
It's just like a woman in a relationship.
That's tumultuous.
That's problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're on the verge of breaking up, but she's still into this guy.
But that's not an epic story, so it's not Jim
Steinman.
Yeah,
vampires are much more epic.
Well, we got to be careful about usage of the word epic in stories here.
Oh, boy.
It's an epic. So, I mean, the song is epic, like in the modern context, but like this wouldn't be an epic story in the traditional sense.
Yes.
I just want to throw that out there.
It's not the Odyssey.
We could call it
I was going to say the Odyssey.
We could call it modern epic.
That's the only epic. Yeah.
You know other epics. I bet you
I probably do, but that's the only one that I know as an epic.
Okay. I won't bore you with other lists of them now, though I'm tempted.
Once we stop recording, however.
I will.
Get ready.
Get ready.
Get comfortable. circle back around to Teresa for verse 3. Oh,
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
But Brad, you so didn't many read verses. A whole
yeah,
Brad,
you did
didn't
it.
Read?
No.
Brad's got to read verse
you
3.
You only read parentheticals.
Teresa can do parentheticals.
I'll do parentheticals, and you do the others.
All right.
Turn around.
Every now and then, I know you'll never be the boy you always wanted to be.
Turn around.
But every now and then, I know you'll always be the only boy who wanted me the way that I am.
Turn around.
Every now and then, I know there's no one in the universe as magical and wondrous as you.
Turn around.
Every now and then, I know there's nothing any better. There's nothing that I just wouldn't do.
Turn around, Bright Eyes.
Every now and then, I fall apart.
Turn around, Bright Eyes.
Every now and then, I fall apart.
And I need you now, tonight.
And I need you.
Oh. Perfect.
So, yeah. So, okay.
It's a lot of boy stuff, huh?
I don't like
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So, up until now, we vampires whole.
Yeah.
100%.
Sure. 100% vampires. No flaws
three,
at all.
It was like
a flawless
oh,
vampire
now
song.
No, wait. The weird teacher who's trying to sleep
so
with
wait,
the students.
Like, but he's. Ugh. If he is a vampire, she's like, I know you'll never be the boy you always wanted to be. He won't be a boy.
But why
he's a vampire.
Use the word boy.
Why? Yeah,
the
don't
word
use
boy
the word
is
man.
So uncomfortable.
The word man, if it doesn't need to rhyme with boy.
Yes.
Yeah. Just use the word man.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no rhyming boy. There with boy. Like, there's no reason why
yeah, that's
the word has to be boy.
Just, like, trying to justify.
No, I'm just like, no. Yeah, boy is nothing. I'm
nothing.
Just talking about how that, how, like.
You ignore the fact that they use the word
I
boy.
I ignored boy. Yeah. I was just like, that's, I can still see the vampire thing. And you, but every now and then, I know you'll only. So even though he was never a human boy.
Well, he probably
he
was a human boy, grew
and
up into a man.
Bit. Teresa, what do you know about vampires?
Apparently
was
nothing.
What's
they called? Sparkle. That's about it. I know English. I know you'll always be the only boy who wanted me the way that I am, but he doesn't. He wants to turn you into a vampire. Right?
That's what I'm See? Saying. This verse just falls
and
apart.
He obviously doesn't
every
want
now and
her.
Then it falls apart.
Yeah. So he doesn't want her to be the way that she is because he's leaving.
Unless he does want her to be the way she is and she's the one that wants to be the vampire, a la Bella in the Twilight series. Twilight is based on a Jim Steinman song, I think.
Twilight is based on Harry Potter fan fiction. That's how it came about.
No. 50 Shades of Grey is fan fiction for Twilight. Yes.
Is Twilight
no,
100%
no part of that was correct.
Original based on...
Do me a favor, Total yell into that microphone.
He's leaving? You just said he's leaving.
Isn't that the situation? Or she's contemplating leaving?
Yeah, because he keeps telling her to turn around.
We've said he and her and she and him so many times in this episode that I have no idea
he
who we're
is
talking
the
about.
Subject.
Do I?
Yes.
I'm lost.
He's the one singing Turn Around.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
She's Bonnie Tyler.
She's the main character,
she's
the main
Bonnie
speaker.
Tyler. And by the way, can we just give a shout out to Bonnie Tyler's voice? It's
oh
so
my
fantastic.
Gosh. Tyler is amazing.
It's
and do you know
so
I was
great.
Just thinking the same
yes.
thing?
I feel like we've talked about Jim Steinman and Meatloaf a lot, and Bonnie Tyler's voice is absolutely
phenomenal.
Amazing.
Can I tell
you
the best voice?
Can I tell you a little bit about Bonnie Tyler's voice real
please.
Quick?
Please.
So it's got that very distinctive rasp to it.
Yes.
Which is due to a surgery she had at a young age where she had developed nodules on her vocal cords.
Huh.
And so she was a singer before that. But after this surgery, it changed the actual like sound and timbre of her voice to give her that very distinctive raspy, smoky sound.
Worked out for you.
Which has since like healed a little bit. She's still singing. She still performs this song from time to time. But it's a lot like cleaner sounding
yeah.
as a result. So Jim Steinman liked her voice because he thought it sounded quote ravaged like it's been through a lot and it reminded him of John Fogerty from Creedence Clearwater Revival.
That's a cool little analogy. I like
it. Yeah, which is one of his favorite rock singers.
What I wanted to say was that at the end of the song, you know, as it kind of gets more and more and more vocally challenging and that rasp in her voice really comes out in full force, it's awesome. Like it worked so perfectly.
It's power. It's like raw emotion power.
I love it. Love her voice.
Yeah.
I Need a Hero. Is that her other song
yes.
that
yes,
she does?
Yes, that's also her.
Yes, great song.
You just aggressively fisted there.
I'm not fun.
Katie wants me to edit this
not
episode
impressed.
Down to 2 minutes.
Not impressed. This is going to be a 12-minute episode.
You know what's funny about that? If I say that, it'll mean that you can't cut that out. But before... when I was taking notes on the video, I wrote like so many fists, but then I thought like you guys would take it in a dirty way. So I actually changed what I wrote even in my notebook. Like,
Don't worry, we made it there on our own. We didn't need you to get us there.
And then like we didn't even get there.
So many fist pumps.
Like, cause she is always like, fists. She like balls up her hands and just
that's
fists,
very
and
much like Jim Steinman with his power fists in the air.
Yeah.
Aggressively.
His aggressive power fists from Jim Steinman. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, back to this verse. The big problem with it is like the usage of the word boy, for sure. Yeah. Like, yeah, in the last verse, she was lying like a child in his arms. Fine. I don't love it, but Teresa said helplessness, and like, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Why would he be called a boy? Like, even over if he over. Wasn't over a vampire, why would he be a boy twice?
I mean, is it
here?
Just like boy girl? It's not like child. It's like how people say, like, you know, boy meets girl. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean child and woman, you know?
Right. I don't think it literally means like adult and child, but I think the tone of the song is so adult that the word boy feels uncomfortable. Out of place. Yeah.
And then seeing that in conjunction with the video is just...
Well, that's the other thing, is our brains were just already on that.
Yeah.
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 On a side note, I just personally hate the phrase, as magical and wondrous as you.
But a vampire
is magical and wondrous.
Is a vampire's powers derived from magic?
Well, I mean, it's definitely magic.
It's just certainly magical.
It's not from science.
I could say miraculous. I mean, it might be miracle.
Do you believe in miracles more than you believe in magic?
No.
Because you don't believe in either, right?
Right, correct. Although, I've seen some good magic.
So, magical is better than miraculous.
I do believe in wonders. I'll tell you that. Yeah. So, using the word wondrous. No, I just think it's like a kind of a barfy saying.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
magical and wondrous.
I think if it wasn't a vampire, I'd feel barfy. But since it is a vampire,
it's not
as
a
we've established.
You already said it was.
It is a vampire.
No,
this started out as a vampire song and then it got like changed over time.
It was a vampire song that then they decided to get a little...
Why would you leave the word magical not the word vampire in the song?
You wanted to say, I know there's no one in the universe as vampirical.
And wondrous as you. Yeah,
like, and then, Brad, would we have
vampirical and wondrous as you?
Probably some sort of space vampire, you know, in the universe. Just in the universe.
I don't know, Brad. You already said that the chorus fit with it being a vampire.
I said that one line in the chorus.
It's a few lines.
Forever's going to start tonight.
And then you take that in.
Well, then they say
to consideration.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
There was light in my life, and now there's only love in the dark. That only furthers the point.
Could be a werewolf. They could be werewolves, guys.
Are werewolves?
This director worked on Teen Wolf, the series.
Immortal?
Touché.
20 years late, 30 years later?
I don't know. Werewolves are not immortal.
You were saying Twilight.
At least on Harry
Twilight.
Potter.
I'm saying Twilight is inspired by this.
Well, and Harry Potter is the foundation of all magic.
Right? I'm just saying, my knowledge of werewolves is Harry Potter, and werewolves are not immortal in Harry Potter.
They get old and die.
They die. I mean, I don't know about old,
well, like,
but there's
vampires
definitely
vampires
that dies in Harry Potter.
Thanks for ruining it, Dennis.
Yes,
you don't know who a vampire or you don't even know who Harry Potter is.
What vampire?
He's the boy
is
who never
Harry
died
Potter.
Or something like that.
No, the boy who died.
Who lived?
The boy who lived.
That's what it is. Jesus.
This episode.
Who is that round right now?
I read all the Harry Potter books.
This is really going to frustrate me, Michelle.
I know.
What vampire is in Harry Potter?
Vampire? No, vampires.
No, werewolf.
Werewolf.
Steve. Lupin.
Lupin. Which, you know,
Steve the vampire.
Moons do? Eclipse.
In their
moon
hearts.
Word association there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Turn around.
Okay, now it makes perfect sense. Now it makes all of the sense.
What are we talking about?
I don't know.
We've actually read all the lyrics to the song.
I know. Keep going. There's a... Oh, it goes on, but it's repeated?
It's repeats because it goes on for 7.5 minutes, guys.
Oh, and then there's the outro.
Oh, Katie, would you like to read the outro?
I feel like Teresa wants to read the outro. It is the part she keeps
singing.
She's saying
it like
every
seven
single
times
day of
already.
Her life, she wants to sing
I
the
mean,
outro.
I mean, saying it isn't as much fun, but turn around, bright eyes. Turn around, bright eyes. Turn around.
Okay. Great job.
Wait, now sing it.
Turn around. Turn around, bright eyes.
Yes, that's what I want.
There it is.
Oh boy, that's pure note, pure Dodd right there.
That's so high. Those notes are so high. Rory Dodd, amazing.
Yeah, did we give Rory Dodd enough credit yet for what a great singer he is?
Well, he, for the most part in this song, he kind of just, I feel like he doesn't sing as impressively until the very end. Mm.
I don't find it as impressive.
It's just kind of,
because I think her song and her voice in this song is more impressive to me. His hitting those notes,
he gets to flex a little bit at the end.
Mm-hmm. I think his background vocals and harmonies are much better in the Air Supply song.
What song is that?
Making love out of nothing at all, Teresa.
I forgot it already.
There's like one harmony
part.
This
to hurt me.
Every single time it comes up when they sing the line, but now there's only love in the dark. But now there's only love in the dark.
Yeah.
She sometimes doubles her vocals.
Is that what it is?
Or
is it,
she that has was my like, question. She'll sing it at like an octave down, an octave up.
He did also sing the Jim Steinman version of Rock and Roll Dreams Come Through, where he goes flat plenty.
Yeah.
So.
Rory.
So we just talked a lot about Rory Dodd and his vocals. Can I tell you who the other performers on this song were?
There are more?
No, it was just Rory Dodd and Jim Steinman.
Other than the students.
Yeah. Bonnie Tyler.
Bonnie Tyler. So Roy Bitton and Max Weinberg.
Max Weinberg.
Keys and drums. They were both part of the E Street Band. Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo himself, Rick Derringer, was a part of this. He played all the epic guitar, much like he did on the other two Steinmania episodes that we discussed.
Wasn't Max Weinberg he on did, one of them also? Yep.
He did the Jim Steinman album. And did he do Making Love Out of Nothing at All? I don't know. I
you know what's funny is that I feel like that's a definite consistency between Bruce Springsteen and these Jim Steinman songs is the drums and everything just kind of cutting out and then
epic
jumping back in. And I mean, it definitely adds to the epicness of the song.
And the video director really used those drums towards the end of the song to his advantage.
Because
things that jump in and like flips that happen.
Real definitive things that happen on drums.
I feel like it makes it easy to like choreograph things. Mm-hmm. Big drops. And
as a choreographer, Dennis.
I know all sorts of things about creating dances.
About dance.
Literally never done any of this ever. But I would imagine it's probably easy.
It's got to be easy.
Probably.
If there's a beat, you know, dancing usually.
You know, you just kind of move your body towards that.
Good
to go.
That's how dancing happens.
All right, so I'm looking at Making Love Out of Nothing at All. Roy Bitton, Max Weinberg, Rick Derringer, Rory Dodd. That's all I got.
So it's like the same crew.
It's the same crew.
What, but it's the same year. It makes sense.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
They probably recorded them like in the same session.
Same weekend. He knocked out both these songs with the same band.
Yeah.
If you're going to hire these guys, let's hire them for multiple songs.
Oh, yeah.
Might as well.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. They got an all-star band. So do we want to spend a little bit of time discussing this?
So should we go like, video? All right, so the video is at some kind of prep school.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of gauzy, gossamery
fabrics,
curtains. Blowing curtains with the wind machine is blowing them near candles.
He's getting his money's worth.
A dove just flying in the same spot.
Dove just hovering in one spot.
And then it does not take long for this video to erupt into just absolute insanity.
Yeah, so she is wearing this like white dress with a wrap. It's not really a dress.
Robe dress.
Yeah, and that has a slit all the way up everywhere.
Yeah.
Because at one point she's running down the stairs and we saw Bonnie's Tyler.
Bonnie's Tyler. I like that.
And, but like later on, we learn that she's a teacher, maybe at the school.
You're skipping to the end.
She must be a teacher.
So here's the thing. We are first introduced to all of her late night extracurricular activities.
Yes.
Starting with, I think, the swim team.
So there's
water polo. I have it in order.
Nice.
Okay.
I think they're water polo. Are they wearing helmets?
No, I think they're
wearing goggles and caps.
Swimmers.
First time we see the students, they're sitting in desks with their shirts and ties on.
Oh, my God.
And then
the
there's a gust of wind and their shirts pop open.
Nobody's wearing an undershirt.
Yeah.
Just like unbuttoned white shirts with ties that you just see their absurdly muscular pecs.
Clearly, most of them are like 17 years old, except one kid that looks like he's like 14.
I don't know if he's in that scene. Like nine.
They're very sexy children.
Oh my gosh!
That's the point that they're trying to make in this.
They're definitely, I will say this, they're definitely boys. They are not men.
Yeah, they're boys.
Yes. One boy's shirt does not pop open like when the breeze comes in. Like if you're looking at the screen, the boy in the front row on your right, like if you're the viewer looking at the screen, his shirt never pops open. But like all the other boys,
he
like boom,
he
right
didn't
open.
Catch the breeze.
Obviously, Jim Steinman didn't own a very good wind machine.
Yeah, seriously.
Where do we journey to next?
Then it's the swim team splash.
There's just a bucket of water.
They're just standing in line
straight away. Splash hits them in the face.
Throws water at these guys.
They're all in like
they're all like seal smooth. Yeah,
I like to think of while they were filming the video, mm-hmm. and they were like, "Okay, you're gonna need to sit here, stare straight at the camera." And there's just some dude with a bucket of water just throwing on them as they're there.
Yeah, they're in a straight line, so you can see like at least part of the face and like arm of all the boys, and they have like their swim caps and their goggles on. But yeah, it just looks like a bucket of water.
Yeah,
it's thrown at them.
Splash. All right. So after the swim team,
does anybody else remember what comes next?
Greasers.
No, we haven't gotten there yet.
That's much later.
Choir.
Ninjas?
That's much later. Ninjas next.
That's okay. Yes, the school's ninja team. Yeah, okay. Are they taking on the fencers? Is it because I feel like if you're going to have sword on sword action.
Yeah.
Is that the rival high school? Was that the rival prep school? Like,
no, the next thing after the dancing, I love the dancing ninjas, by the way. They're fabulous.
They're great dancers.
They are great dancers.
Not great,
you
not great ninjas. Not great ninjas.
I'm a choreographer myself.
I'll tell you what, I saw those ninjas, which makes them not very
great ninjas, but great dancers.
Great dancers. Terrible ninjas.
Then I guess like the school's dinner party club meets next.
They do a big cheers where they spill half their drink. Yeah.
Well, they're still learning.
Yeah. Dinner party club. They're learning the etiquette.
Now, would you consider the guy who pulls the tablecloth out from like a set table, would that be considered magic?
He's magical
because
and wondrous.
They're not very magical because they don't do a good
job. He's not the boy who's the most magical and wondrous in the universe or whatever the lyric is.
Like, one of the members of the dinner club is staying hands up and sit, like mouths the words that Rory Dodd sings. I don't know if all of them do, but one definitely does.
What is the focus?
I didn't notice
that. One is certainly the focus of that. Whether or not they all sang it, I couldn't tell.
Yeah. I have to go back and look again.
I would like to know if there has been anyone in the history of music who's had more of their singing dubbed over with someone else's face lip syncing it.
I don't know.
Than Rory Dodd. Is he number one? Or I guess whoever sang the actual Milli Vanilli stuff would probably.
What does Rory Dodd look like?
No one knows.
Who even knows?
Is he really ugly? Like, is that why they wouldn't want to put
him? I mean, Rory, Jim Steinman gets to appear in the video. He's just like a normal looking man with crazy outfits on.
He's not handsome, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, let's not be cruel to Rory Dodd.
I don't know which one is.
He's got a sweet mustache in one of those pictures.
If Rory Dodd, there's no way he looks weirder than any of those kids.
Hold up, wait a minute. If the Russell brothers from...
He looks a little like David Crosby in that picture.
You know, Russell times two in Air Supply. If they get to be in a video, if Bilbo Baggins... And a poor man's Jeff Daniels get to be in a music video. Yeah, so does this guy. I think he looks like a rock and roll dude.
That's Jim Steinman, Dennis.
But that's not Rory Dodd.
I don't know who that is. But he looks way too young.
Dodd? Yeah, that's definitely.
Teresa found a picture of him like from this era-ish with long hair and
super
a mustache.
The point is he probably could have very well been in any of these videos.
I mean, I don't
know what he did to Jim Steinman that he like could hold him down, but he still had to work for him for some reason.
You will sing, but you will not be seen.
You will not be seen.
I can't trust Google Images, though, right now, because it's showing me like 37 different people.
What's the source, though? How do you know?
Well, this one is Jim Steinman.
Yeah, seriously, that's what I got for looking up the difference. A refrain and a chorus. So,
at JimSteinman.com, it's a picture of Jim Steinman with Rory Dodd and Carla DeVito. So if you know which one is Jim Steinman, we can say the other
Jim
one.
Jim Steinman's not an attractive man either.
Mustache or no mustache?
Jim Steinman's on the left.
No, Jim Steinman's
mustache
on the left. Rory Dodd is with the mustache.
Mustache is Rory Dodd.
The mustachioed man.
Guys, I'm going to make you listen to later Rory Dodd's demo version of Making Love Out of Nothing at All.
when I think about Rory Dodd, now that I've seen what he looks like, Jim Steinman, Meatloaf, and Russell Times Two of Air Supply.
Team Russell's.
That Rory man, Rory Dodd, deserves to be seen in a music video. Yes. 100%.
Maybe he hated acting.
Maybe. Maybe. Possible, maybe it was a personal choice. So we've gone through Flowing Fabric Candles and Doves, Shirts Open, Swim Team Slash, Dancing Ninjas, Cheers. Does anybody know what comes next? Don't she? After Cheers.
Is it the shirtless football players?
No, there's
is
that,
is it the Greasers doing the pork chop?
No.
Fencing. They start fencing.
Fencing. Oh, hold it, because we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I didn't expect that to come up. The Fencers are next.
Yeah, but they're not doing anything other out of character.
They're
for
actually
fencers.
Fencing. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the Gymnastics are next.
Oh, okay. Again,
gymnastics. Yep. They're back.
This makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, what is the story here? What is happening?
There is none.
It's nighttime at the preparatory school.
Like we said somebody said it was like a dream.
Yeah.
Where Bonnie Tyler is being tempted by all of these high school children.
That's so gross.
Bonnie Tyler is a teacher at this boys' prep school, and the video is her having a dream, which is sort of like a nightmare, but also a fantasy. Where
it's like a homoerotic nightmare for Bonnie Tyler.
Homoerotic nightmare fantasy, because there is like a sexiness to it, where she's like in their dorm, like, or in their activities at
they have a lot of extracurriculars
and watching. It's really have a greaser team, which is just a team of greasers.
That was the school's production of Grease.
Doing a West Side Story-esque dance up the stairs.
Or they were all getting dressed up for the Bad Out of Hell the musical.
Yeah. That's what it was. They were all dressed as Jim Steinman.
Is that what comes next in the video?
Yeah, it is. That's what's after the gymnastics.
So there's a group of leather jacket wearing young men coming up the stairs.
Strapping hairless young men. Yeah.
Who are coming up the stairs, you know, snapping their fingers and also doing a weird dance that Brad does called the pork chop.
Whoa.
Katie does it? Oh, yeah. I thought it was Brad's dance.
How dare you? So Brad and I eat pork chops sometimes.
Like, did not know it started with pork chops.
And of course, how else would it start?
I don't know.
So you know what? Sue us. We eat pork chops from time to time, guys.
And Brad's a delicious cook, which sometimes inspires me to dance.
Meaning that I cook deliciously, not that I... Yeah.
He is delicious. Right.
Well, that too.
Let's get off the pan.
He is a delicious cook. Brad cooks deliciously, which sometimes inspires me to dance. And one of the dances that I did...
You just snorted.
...involved me moving my shoulders, like, up and down.
Much like the greasers in this video.
Not really alternating, like, just to one side over and over again. You'd have to see it, and you can't, because this is a podcast. And while I do
just
it, I just
it.
Say...
We can't take it. Yeah.
I'm not doing that, guys.
Please,
get out of town.
Please, I can't
and,
wait.
And then, like,
incredible.
I just say, pork chop, and that's the dance. And I choreographed that dance, not Brad. Brad inspired it, and it's a little bit different from what the greasers are doing.
But you guys definitely did that dance when we had a dance
slightly.
Party at our house.
Yeah. So we got pork chop greasers. Yeah.
Anybody know what comes next? Don't cheat. I have my list.
Shirtless football players.
Yes! Now you're killing it.
I knew it had to be coming at some point.
Now, Dennis, you've played football.
I have. I think it's a ridiculous thing to have them wearing shoulder pads.
Did you always
wear
a shirt?
No, 100% of the time. I had 0 points.
No, but like always.
Always. Shoulder pads. With a shirt underneath and a shirt above.
Oh, yeah.
No,
what
would happen if you didn't wear
probably
a shirt
get a
under?
Rash or something. I don't know. You might wear like a small shirt underneath. I don't know. But like,
do you see that in
those
movies
things smell like
though?
Garbage. I don't know if you ever realized this, but football pads smell terrible.
No, it's just like old sweat.
Yes.
That's just like,
and
it smells worse
and
with
then
age.
And leave it in a locker room with a bunch of other people's old sweat.
As someone who has done really Dennis's bad. Laundry when he played sports, it all smells
doesn't
terrible.
Smell. Doesn't smell.
It smells so bad. Not just Dennis, but all the brothers.
What was the best smelling piece of sports equipment?
What?
That was a great reaction.
The bathing suit from Swim Team. It smells like chlorine. That's all it smells like.
True. That's actually not
chlorine
a bad.
The chlorine takes you watch it.
It's not a
obviously.
Good smell, but
it's
not
better
it's
than
not a disgusting.
It's
not
better
a
than
inducing smell.
Better than sliding shorts with a cup still in it that my brother.
You gotta take it out.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The cup has like a little bit of moisture inside of it.
You let your sister touch your cup.
All right. First of all, this may have happened when I was like 12. Like this is not something that. It, like, continually goes on.
I didn't touch it while he was wearing it.
No, of course like, not. Oh my God, who even suggested that, Teresa?
It was like laundry. All the stuff was piled up
in the laundry,
and I had to like remove a cup like from
someone's underwear that you're in the midst of throwing in the laundry. That's all it was.
Brad and Katie do their own laundry separately, so they don't understand touching
that we all just throw our laundry together. Yeah. Like,
oh no, we have separate laundry. We do our own laundry.
If that is weird. That's weird.
If Brad like did a sport that involved a cup, he is my husband, and I'd be like, you can deal with that yourself.
See, that's, well, I mean, the cup part, yeah, I understand. Yeah. But
this is the worst episode we've ever recorded.
This is so good. This is phenomenal.
What I wanted to say before we got into Dennis's cup.
Before we got into Dennis's
first it was aggressive f***ing, then it was aggressive f***ing, then we got into Dennis's cup. It's really just another episode of Decomposition Podcast.
I wanted to say that I think sometimes in movies and TV shows, you see like the teenage football players take their jerseys off and they don't have a shirt on.
It's not crazy to have it. Yeah, usually it would be like a short shirt or something like that. Yeah, but it's not crazy. But to have no shirt on top of the... They had no shirt above the shoulder pads.
I'm not justifying it.
Yeah. And we only see them for like a split second. And they do this like weird like dancing hit. And then they run away. And then that's
good,
no more
pretty good dancing.
We should all have to video our dancing.
That's all it was. So,
after football comes...
Then we start with like the real epic part of the song where Max... Oh, I'm going to forget his name. Weinberg. Is really killing it on the drums. And these big like crashing noises. Mm-hmm. And the doors all blow open at once. Like
more gossamer.
Yeah. She's in a hallway of white doors and it's like boom and all the doors fly open and there's red fabric just flowing out of them, which is maybe symbolic of blood because of vampires. Dennis is now bored of vampires.
He's
exhausted.
It's the vampires.
Yeah. Can we get back to Harry Potter, please?
vampires.
So, and then they start repeating them,
and
right?
And now, like,
they
this go is back. Where we start to go, you're absolutely right, back through all of them, but in, like, crazier
weird order, where, and they do more ridiculous
things. Is this
things?
When the guy takes off the fencing mask?
There's something before that.
Choir?
That's after.
It's got to be the kid in the chair with the wings.
It's the diaper dancers.
Diaper dancers way later.
It's
that's so weird.
Dinner party again.
That's where they try to pull the
dinner party ruckus, huh?
Pulling the tablecloths. All right.
Then the fencer, it's the close up on his face, and he takes off the mask, and the glitter starts to pour out. Well, the first time, it's just like a quick shot at his face.
Yeah, it doesn't get to the glitter
just yet.
Then they go
back, and there's gold glitter, like a stream of it.
Who the hell knows?
I don't.
It's her sexual nightmare fantasy.
Glitter is my nightmare. I want nothing to do with glitter ever.
Because you can't get rid of it.
No, it's
always
there. I
don't want to watch it in a Bonnie Tyler video.
No.
I don't want it in any form in my life.
Yeah, I agree. I hate glitter.
Hate it.
I'm willing to take a strong stance against glitter.
Anti-glitter.
I just want to
podcast.
Apologize to all of our listeners that we've offended with our strong stance on glitter.
Oh, this is when you start getting tweets from the Glitter Foundation.
The Glitter Foundation.
You know what? The Glitter Foundation.
That's a good point.
Screw themselves.
You are soulless people who hate glitter.
Wow. That's true. We'll be soulless losers to another group.
So wait a second. Have we not seen the boys' choir yet?
Right after. So the boys' choir comes in right after the first close-up shot on the fencer's face. Actually, before the glitter pours.
Really?
Pours
and
out.
We're talking, this is before like the kid who's sitting in the chair with the wings?
Oh, we missed that kid who threw the dove.
No, the dove he throws later, but like you see him like sitting in the chair with the wings.
That's real early in the video. Yeah. I think we just missed
it. So you forgot.
So then we get to the boys' choir.
I did my best.
Where they all have the
glowing eyes.
Bright eyes.
And then the one kid
flies
almost vampirically.
But you see that, by the way, you can see the cord.
Oh, sure. Oh really? I didn't know. I wasn't like looking for it.
You can see the cord.
He zooms right at the camera.
That's terrifying. Well, he flies like vampires do.
No, I don't think vampires fly.
I have no
idea. They do.
Vampires do fly.
Yeah, like, when they turn into bats, they fly.
Oh, I think it all depends on the
lore.
On the vampire, on the lore, yeah.
A different story.
Mm-hmm. Because the Lost Boys, they fly just like that.
Which we all wanted
Teresa,
to do.
Nobody can hear you do that.
I know. Just spread my wings.
Yeah, you don't have wings.
Are you sure? Because I wasn't sure that anyone in this video had wings until, like, that.
There were multiple
older
sets of
boy
wings.
With, like,
the giant.
He was, naked with wings. What was it, naked?
They wrapped the wings.
around her. Do I have that?
That was later on. That was like the last thing.
That's towards the end, yeah.
It's very soon, actually.
That's when she turns into a vampire.
So the Bright Eyes Boys Choir is followed by the boys in cloth diapers dancing around her. Yep. I want you to know that we watched the second time. One of them is wearing some kind of S&M vest. Right.
Oh. They did some high kicks, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They did a lot of like high kicks and really impressive dance moves. But then there were also just like a bunch of pelvic thrusts happening in the background, too. If you watch, watch again.
Well, that's consistent with the theme of Bonnie Tyler's fantasy. And,
And then where do we go to from the dancing is insane, though. Like, I don't think we focused on how insane that part in an already insane video when that comes in all of a sudden, like, is the S&M dance team for this school?
Yeah. Well, every good school has an S&M dance team.
They've already got, you know, they've lettered in Ninja.
And Greaser.
Yeah.
And Dinner Party.
Dinner Party.
I'm a three-sport athlete.
Ninja,
Greaser, and Dinner Party.
Honestly.
They are at different times of the year. You can play all three sports.
True.
In the madness of this school's activities, like the dinner party is like
I don't know. You can't really beat ninjas.
We've railed against the dinner party quite a bit. And we haven't even spoken about how everybody's possessed in this
video. Have like lights coming out of their eyes.
Yeah, they have bright eyes.
But they don't all have lights coming out of their eyes all the time. Like early on, there's one.
Yeah, the one like guy that enters through a door.
That's very early in the video.
Choir has them the whole time they're singing. But like, I guess it was just too hard for that special effect to have it go all throughout the video.
Those are very large contacts.
Yeah, like after the beginning where you just see the one character with bright eyes, you don't see the bright eyes again until the whole choir has them and the boy flies at the camera. And then you see them a bunch, like at the end of the video.
Yeah.
What follows the cloth diaper dancers is the Birdman in place.
Oh, God. Okay. Is that the weirdest part?
No. It's impossible to rank these in terms of weirdest because it's all weird.
It shocked me, though.
That was where you yelled.
I yelled.
What?
Yeah.
I was like, what? But then if I think about it in connection with any of this other stuff, I'm not sure that's weirder.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
It makes as much sense.
You throw anything
as
in there
else.
And it'll make sense.
And that's the last part of like the fantasy. Then it goes.
I think the weirdest part is when they come out of the fantasy. That's where it's really weird.
And that shit's still happening.
Yeah.
Like, where was it? There was the one scene of the boy who just like suddenly lifts his head up and sings like Turn Around Bright Eyes.
He's wearing a lot of lipstick.
And I found it like shocking.
That was in the choir bit. I think the choir might have been shown more than once. And it was like a cut from a group of boys to that boy with like the blue shiny lipstick on.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah. So it's then at the end they come out and
so is that all we got before like she comes out of the fantasy?
She as a teacher comes out with I guess the headmaster who's wearing graduation regalia.
And she's looking all professional.
Yeah.
Meets all 12 of her students.
Meets the 12 students at the school. And the last boy whose hand she shakes.
She shakes one boy's hand.
No, first the little boy pokes his head through
and she ruffles his hair
like a
but he was the little boy in the choir that flew.
Yes.
And then so then she shakes one boy's hand and then looks deeply into his bright eyes.
And then it cuts away. I think it's the same boy again without bright eyes.
I think it's two different boys.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell when the lights are on.
I think the second boy who has normal eyes is weirder looking than the kid with the bright eyes.
I think it's the high pitched voice coming out of his face. Like he's like mouthing. It's like this doesn't seem right.
Mm-hmm. How does it sound, Teresa?
Turn around bright eyes.
That's the first one.
That's the first one. The second one.
Turn around bright eyes. Turn around.
I think what's happening at the end is she comes out of school, she sees all the boys, like, this is reality. And it's one of these, like, Inception type endings where it's like, is it a dream or wasn't? Because she sees the boy with the glowing eyes, but then she sees the boy, whether it's the same one or not the same one, with normal eyes. And you're left to just figure it out. It's the top
freak show school
spinning.
Yeah.
Either figure it out or forget about it completely.
Are any of these kids vampires?
Probably not.
Probably.
As much as the song is about vampires,
as much as
the video is about a lot of things, none of which
are vampires.
Yeah.
How do you feel after watching this video?
Amazing.
Uncomfortable.
Gross.
Excited.
I feel gross.
I love it. It's so fun and weird. It's so strange that it makes me happy.
Same.
Every single one of your statements there was half true. It's so weird. Yes. Yes, but it makes me happy. I don't know about that.
You're really watching it, you're like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen, but it also is great.
I feel like I remember watching this when I was very little and being like freaked out by it. Like, what is going on? Maybe it was because it was just like darkness, it's and
probably
the
scary.
Weird eyes kind of scared me. And now I watch it and it's just uncomfortable.
I mean, Dennis was very afraid of the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah,
no,
Willy Wonka.
And
the Chocolate Factory, yes.
Yes,
okay.
So like things like that kind of freaked
me
out.
Yeah, really weird stuff made a little kid uncomfortable, oddly enough.
Are we
totally normal.
This video is not for children.
Yes.
Yeah, are we not all as adults like totally like grossed out by the fact that some director chose to make this video about a teacher lusting after her demon student?
Okay, that's totally gross.
Gross.
But all the combination of all the weird things that are happening.
But at a certain point, all of that pedophilia is beautiful, is what you're trying to say.
We're
saying it's weird. You're like, yeah, but it's great.
No. The pedophilia is terrible, but like mixing all of
but
the weird
But you still feel great after
genre.
Watching it, is what you're
I hate all of you. Oh, I'm leaving here and never coming back.
You're such a joy ruiner. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I'm happy that you guys enjoy the music video. I'd rather just listen to the song and enjoy Bonnie Tyler's voice.
But you didn't just watch the video and you're like, this is hilarious and I want to show it to more people.
Well, it's hilarious because delightful. We're thinking about it in that context.
Yeah.
It's not like good or...
It's not good.
Definitely.
Okay. And the premise is not okay. But dancing's fabulous.
Great dancing.
Great dancing.
We're not
watching Dancing with Your Students. Like, that's not...
We're definitely not watching Dancing with My Students.
Well, dancing with somebody's students.
That's right.
We're watching Bonnie Tyler and her students. And that's them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Professor Tyler.
But I delight in the ridiculousness of the video.
Yes.
It is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You got a grade for it?
I give this song an A. I love it. It's got weirdness. It's got metaphor. It's got simile. It's creative. It doesn't make any sense. Judge me on giving it an A. I don't care.
No, it gets an A.
A plus.
I give it an A too.
You're not a teacher.
I don't care.
Still give it an A.
Guys,
I'm going to start just giving things A's.
But it's a great song.
Who's stopping
it's
you?
It's so well
Is it
sung.
An A that you aggressively
Yes, yeah. I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Teresa, you aggressively that A?
Every time. When we were just reading the lyrics, my fists were in the air. I know what he's saying. I was moving fast.
I hate you guys.
Windows down, radio up?
Absolutely. Yeah.
110,000%. All-time decomposition windows down, radio up. Might be number one.
I can't.
You guys obviously know better, but I can't think of a song that would be
There's
better
There's nobody on this planet that doesn't windows down, radio up this song.
If they don't, they're wrong.
They're objectively wrong.
They don't know what fun is.
Yeah. Complete losers.
Yeah.
How dare you? Losers.
Should I close this out?
I think so. Dennis, Teresa, thanks, guys. This is awesome.
I had so much fun.
Me too.
This was a lot of fun, and I'm exhausted. So.
Once upon a time, there was light in my life. But now there's only love in the dark. Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart. A total eclipse of the heart.
All right, and with that, I just want to thank you guys for listening again. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, song suggestions, please shoot us an email. Our email address is decompositionpod@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @decomp_pod, Facebook and Instagram, Decomposition Podcast. Do us a favor, get yourself onto the Apple Podcast app or any app podcatcher they call them.
I think so.
On any podcatcher you use, drop us a rating and a review. We would love to hear what we are doing, good, bad, and otherwise. And in the meantime, you just chill till the next episode.